Last week we talked about the church. We talked about that the church had theology, foundation. And we also talked about the church is to be healthy in the areas of faith and love and steadfastness. And that the ultimate purpose in 11 and 12 was what? To bring glory to ourselves. It's to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Now, sandwiched in this text today, sandwiched in this text is what I call a sporadic pattern. You'll notice, if we just kind of hit back through it, you're going to notice that it's a comparison and contrast type of sermon today. Notice verse 5. That is for us. Verse 6 is for them. No, I'm not talking about the Steelers and Green Bay. I'm talking about the saved and the unsaved. Since indeed he is going to pay back those who have troubled you, that's them. And grant relief to us, that's us. And then in verse 9, he's going to come and get them. And then in verse 10, it deals with us. So it's this back and forth, if you will, back and forth bantering of the Apostle Paul, focused on those who are saved and those who are lost. Very clear definition. Let me just say this. When it comes time for you to meet God, when it comes your time to meet God, you're not going to straddle a fence. You're either on one side or the other. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between place. You are either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You either have him or you don't. And so this world really is about two destinies, and that's what Paul wants to talk with us about today. But he's also reassuring amid suffering. That is, that you go through this life and don't worry about the end result because God is in control. I know many of us, sometimes we wonder, particularly when we look at this world, we think, wow, does God really know all this stuff's going on? Does he know that Christians are being persecuted relentlessly around the world? I think we live in a time now where there's more martyrs for Christ than there has ever been in the period history of the church. And the big question is, where's God? Well, Paul's going to tell us. And then he talks about two destinies, and that's very, 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 very clear. If you can read this text and not see that there's two roads, two destinies, then please see me, because it's quite clear. Now let's look at what Paul says today. First of all, he says suffering in this life, and he focuses on our suffering. Notice verse 5. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Evidence of what? Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But what Paul is doing here is he's pointing to a time ahead. A time ahead when the righteous judgment of God, futuristic action, will take place on the benefit not only for his people, but for the benefit of what the redeeming work that Christ did on the cross for us. So there's this future time ahead. That makes suffering, we have to keep that in perspective. That our suffering will give way, what I love to say, victory. I had a great finish for my sermon today. But we don't have ability to play video. So I was like all excited, and then Evan goes, we can't do it. So I was like, well, we'll just forget the ending then. But I can see you guys better up here. You guys look funny down there for some reason. They look funny all the time, right? Yes, thank you, yes. Now I notice he says, and the purpose for God's judgment and for our suffering is contained in the second phrase. Look at it. That you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. Now let me say this very, very quickly. You are not counted worthy for the kingdom of God because you suffer. You are counted worthy for the kingdom of God based on the finished work of Christ on the cross. But what he is saying here is that the refining process makes us worthy to enter. I love the Green Berets. I did have a picture of John Wayne up there. Well, I guess you're gonna, you know, that's not John Wayne. Yeah. The Green Berets, Special Forces. Do you know the kind of, I went through air assault training, and it was like nursery to them. My training was 2 weeks. These guys right here, not everybody wears a green beret. You know that? They have to eat frogs. No, I don't know if they eat frogs, but but they are pushed to the limit. They are pushed to the limit. I mean, after 2 weeks, I was dead at air assault, but these guys right here, they make that fail in comparison. I mean, they are up at 3 and they don't go to bed till midnight, sometimes stay up all night. Why is that? Well, the part of the training is that they have to reach a point of fatigue where they are to continually go forward and forward. But the good news, when you finish training and you have passed the test, you wear something that not too many people have had the opportunity to wear. The green beret. This life is about suffering and the hardships and the trials, but at the end, we will wear the crown of life. It's a hardship. I know that. It is a trial, and suffering is part of it. But this suffering speaks to God's justice in verse 6. Look at it. Since indeed God considers it just, that is right or righteous, to repay with affliction those who afflict you. This earthly judge, you know, earthly judges, I know that they try to be honest, but they try to do things right, but let's be honest about it. Earthly judges are flawed. Sometimes they're politically biased. Sometimes they just think differently and they try to squeeze the law in a different way. But their judgments are sometimes flawed. Let me tell you this. The righteous judge is not flawed. His judgments will be right, and they'll be true to form. Now listen to what he says. He says, since God considers it just, that is right, God's judgments will be right. Always right. So when you get to the end of your life and you're standing before the judge, his judgments will be right. They will be perfect. There will be no a second appeal. You won't be able to appeal up because he will be as high as you can get. He is the Supreme Court of heaven. Secondly, this is where it can be troubling for a believer, but God will pay back those for what they have done to us. I want you to think about that. Oftentimes, I know we want to stand in the background and go, get them, God. I know you know what I'm talking about. You wish a piano would drop on a guy. I've been bothering you, or something bad happened to him. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine. That means God is the one who will pay back those who have troubled you. Sometimes even in this lifetime. But for sure, down the road, when you're standing before him, down the road, you will stand before a holy God. And if you are outside of Christ, you've got trouble. I got a great verse coming up. I can't wait to lay it on, man. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. That's why I want to try to get through this section. No. God's judgment will be appropriate. Notice he says he will afflict those who have afflicted you. I remember hearing a couple of years ago about a judge. And I actually, not this judge, but I agreed with the judge's ruling. There was a man that had, I'm not a tree hugger, and I'm not going to save the whales and all that stuff. I'm not like that. But I do believe that we should not abuse animals. And I remember this one man was found guilty of taking animals and dropping dogs in particular, dropping them off in the middle of the woods and leaving them to fend for themselves. Well, that man went to trial, and he stood before the judge. And you know what the judge said? And I love it. It was perfect. The punishment fit the crime. He said, because you have done this, I am going to put you in a leg brace and a leg tracking device, and we are going to drop you off in the middle of the woods and let you spend a night out there with the sheriff's deputies out on the outskirts. And we're just going to let you see how it feels to be dropped off in the middle of nowhere with no food, no water, and no shelter. I love that. That was a Solomon moment. That was the crime and the punishment fitting each other. And so we have to remember that when we talk about God's judgment, it will be, it's not like God's going to go a big lightning bolt and he's going to throw out like an out of control guy. He will be very controlled. His is righteous anger. Ours is unrighteous anger sometimes. But God will have it all under control. And God's justice in the midst of our suffering will be appropriate. But our suffering, please understand this. Watch this. Ends when Christ returns. There will be relief for us. Actually, the word relief means rest from stress, trials, and troubles. So this life is really, as we walk this life and we go through all of these trials and all of these hardships, and sometimes we just feel like we cannot go on, God has burdened us, it seems, you know, it's just some people you go, yeah, he picks on him more than others, but I mean, it just seems really rough in this life. When Jesus Christ returns, figure life is like a marathon. That's the finish line right there. He's going across the finish line like this. Many of you that have been foolish enough to run a marathon like myself, I don't know, it's not foolish, I guess, if you like it. I just did it because I had to. you get to run a marathon, and it was 25 miles. I didn't realize how much pain you could actually incur doing that. Not to mention you had to watch potholes and watch the guy in front of you and had to slow up. And it got rough. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I can't remember exactly when, but I think it was like halfway through it. I was like, nah. Nah, I don't want to keep going. I don't want to do this. It's too much. I mean, your legs are on fire. And maybe some of you that's ran in a marathon. But I tell you what, the closer that we got to the finish line, the happier I got. Because I saw the finish line coming. And I knew once you cross the finish line, do you know what we did after we crossed the finish line? Oh, we rested. It's a great picture of what it's going to be like when we see Christ face to face. I'll tell you this, we may stumble across the finish line. And we may fall across the finish line, but Jesus Christ will be there to catch us. And at that moment, we will have the rest that this life has not afforded us the opportunity to, because we live in the midst of those who are not saved that cause us all kinds of trouble. But we will have rest. I grew up in Central Florida. This is Apollo 11, that's the mission that went to the moon. I think it was July 20th, 1969. I was 10 years old. My town was packed. I mean, there on the Indian River, people were looking up, waiting for that. I used to sit on my roof a lot and watch them because I could... Didn't have to go all the way down to the Indian River to see it. I could see the launch go up. My stepfather worked out at the Cape, so, yeah, I went to astronaut high school, and they said, "What were you, astronaut?" And I said, "No, we just, that's the name of our school." We had an Apollo Elementary School, so a lot of the schools were named after the NASA program. And another, when this went off, it was truly amazing. By the way, there's some people that say this never happened. So, I was there, I saw it. This was an image of the Land Rover. Remember that, when you'd see that? Going on the moon and one giant leap for man. All that was going on. Walter Cronkite, "We have now landed on the moon." It was interesting, when they came back, when they went up and when they came back breaking through, actually this was almost a disaster. And this was almost a disaster too. They were 15 seconds away from disaster on the moon. A lot of people don't know that. They were just about out of fuel when they landed. They barely made it. Then they barely got back. But when you're standing out there and you're watching a launch, this is what everybody is doing. This is what they were doing when they were waiting for the capsule to come back. Paul says here that when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, it's going to be a sight unlike anything that we have ever seen. When refers to time. There is a day set aside for Jesus Christ to step off the throne and to appear before the world. And it says revealed. It is an unveiling. It is pulling back the veil to present Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of Lambs, the sacrificial Lamb, the Lord of creation. He will be revealed, and every person will look up and see the Son of God in all of his glory, in all of his majesty. And we thought going up to the moon was something. Just wait till Jesus Christ comes back. Just wait till we see him and the curtain of grace goes up on grace himself. The day of dispensational grace goes up. Grace will be revealed. And at that moment, we who are alive, chapter 2, will be caught up in the air with him. I don't know about you, but that's great news. And that is the relief that we're going to have, but then there's also going to be retribution. We've seen relief, that is rest, and now retribution. What happens to those? Notice those who have not accepted Christ. Look at this. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two ways that this can be interpreted. One way, some say that those who do not know God are Gentiles and those who do not obey the gospel are the Jews. And so they try to, usually when I give you interpretations, I usually say the wrong way first and then the right way. I don't think that's the right way. I think it's those who have rejected the gospel are the ones that don't know God. In other words, I don't think these are two separate categories. I think they're one and the same. That is, they have rejected the gospel. By the way, do you guys know what the gospel means? It's good news. They have rejected good news in favor of temporary fulfillment of pleasure in this life. The good news is that if you accept Christ, you're not under the retribution, you're under relief. Please, if you have not trusted in Christ today, trust him. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. I know everybody remembers this day. Do you remember what you were doing when that happened? I bet you do. It's the greatest tragedy that's ever hit America. And that includes the bombing of Pearl Harbor. That was a rough day. Everything was weird. People were glued to their television sets. How could this happen? See, we were caught by surprise. Do you know a lot of people are going to be caught by surprise the day Jesus Christ comes back, steps off the throne, and comes in glory? A lot of people are going to be caught by surprise. But I'll be honest with you. In my flesh, this irritated me. There was over 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 people that died. Just got up and went to work that day. So when President Bush said, we're going to hold those responsible that did this, I bet you couldn't have found 15 people in America that didn't support that. Wasn't too many days after that, we started dropping bombs. Tora Bora was lit up, folks. I don't know if you remember that, but there's a, I got a picture earlier, it wouldn't fit in here, but there was some nomads sitting on the back looking at Tora Bora, and it was just lit. Those bunker-seeking bombs, they went right into those bunkers and cleared everything out that was in there. You think this was bad? Wait till God takes retribution on those who do not know him. You're not going to be hiding in a cave. You're not going to hide out and somehow get away from it. God is going to find you. You can't hide anywhere from him. Adam and Eve tried it after they fell. Remember that? And they were hiding. And God's calling to them. He knew where they were. He knows where you are today. He knows which road you're on today. Get on the right road. And the right road is to the cross. That's how you get to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven just because you're a member of this church and your parents are a member of this church. You've got to come by way of faith. Faith has to be yours, not your parents, not your aunts or your uncles. You've got to trust in this yourself. And we did pay him back. And I'm not usually one to do that, but I was right there. Actually, kind of wish I could have gone back in. We were caught by surprise, and then there was the formulation of a Homeland Security after that, which has helped cut down on it. But we'll be surprised. Then there's the final judgment. When this suffering and this life ends, when Christ returns, then final judgment. Uh-oh, their punishment. Look at 9. Look at verse 9. They will suffer a punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from his glory. You guys know what's going on in Cairo, Egypt, right? A lot of unrest. President there, Mubarak, has been a dictator for 30 years. America has sometimes helped with that. This little girl, these girls right here standing on a tank. What do they want? They want freedom. They want to be delivered. They're under a totalitarian dictatorship. They're under somebody, and now I guess from what I understand now, the leaders have resigned. And it's a good thing because when the military was asked, which side are you supporting? You can see. When your military goes against you, you got issues. It's called, how do we make the transition and I keep myself alive? We're going to see more of this. There's going to be more and more of this. But this man has been a dictator, and now he's saying he's going to stay until September. Okay. You better be checking everybody in what you got left there to make sure they're not going to poison you. It's time for him to get out of town. We are so fortunate as Americans. Let me just tell you this. We are so fortunate as Americans that we have never lived under a dictatorship. We fought against them to liberate, but we have never served under a totalitarian dictatorship. When I was in Germany all those years ago, I did get to see a sampling of that when I looked across into East Germany. And the people. We have no idea. And what people don't realize is by rejecting Christ, they know, this is a great verse, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That means that if you reject Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, you're going to fall into the fearful hands of God. That's a terrible thing. Actually, it's a fearful thing. People should be afraid of God in one sense. I think what's wrong with our nations today is we have forgotten the fear of God. Now, you know me. I'm a big gracer. And I believe this life is not about us, and this life is all about Him who redeemed us. But I'm telling you, there's another side to God besides His love. There's a side that most, you know, theologians, you go to bigger churches. Sometimes you go to bigger churches and all you hear about God's love, God, and that's good because God does love them. But there's another side, the wrathful God, the vengeful God, who is going to take vengeance on the world. That is the God that the world needs to understand. I think this verse right here, okay, I know you're not used to seeing this, but there's a picture of hell right there. And he says eternally punished. Notice the paradox here. Our life and our suffering right now is temporal. Theirs will be eternal. God will afflict them the way they have afflicted us. Except this is even worse. Look at what Revelation 20:15 says. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's not a metaphor, folks. Hell is a real place. And that, this verse right here, please get this in here. Look at this. Please, listen to this. They will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and His power. That should motivate us as a body of Christ to Monday morning, getting up, and when we go to work, look at people through the lens of the death and destruction that is coming and have a heart of compassion for those who do not know Christ. It should also motivate us to look for opportunities to share the gospel. What about your next door neighbor? Can you imagine? Just think for a minute. Can you imagine being separated from God for all eternity? Can you imagine what that would be like? I heard a man one time tell me, well, when I get to hell, I'm going to have a big party. And I'm like, you think it's going to be a party? Folks, we got to wake up. There's two destinies. There's not three or four worldviews here. There's two places. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. I know you don't hear that often from pulpits today, but you'll hear it from me when we come into it. Then final judgment. Notice our reward. When the Lord comes on that day to be glorified in His saints. Guess who that is? That's us. To glorify means to be magnified. And it also connects us with the Lord. Please remember this. You do not live this Christian life in your own strength. You are always connected to Him. He is the one that is refining you and defining you and making you more into the image of Christ. You never lose that. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
I know we focused on hell for just a minute, but let's go back now. And to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. It's going to be marveled at. Our reward, in a nutshell, our reward is to see Christ face to face. The question is, will you? Now you look up here for a minute. Please. Are you going to... I'm not talking about your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle. I'm talking to you specifically. Are you sure that you are going to see Jesus Christ when you breathe your last breath? I'm not talking about whether you belong to a Southern Baptist church, whether you're a member of your Sunday school class, whether you help little old ladies across the street. I am asking if you have placed your personal trust in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, you should be slipping out of the aisle in just a second to come down here and receive him as Lord and Savior. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you should be busting out of this sanctuary saying, praise God, the victory's at hand. And thanking him for what you won't have to endure for all eternity. Two destinies. That's clear. What is your end going to be? That's the only question that matters. You have to fill in the blank in your heart. Because what you believe will come out when you are done. Let's be ready. Jesus takes you just the way you are. You don't have to clean up to come to him. You can't take a bath enough to get cleaned up. Even with acid, then you've just got veins. And... let's eat lunch. Please. Please. Father, we